It will be my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today. I had asked my husband, the program chair, that's kind of nepotism, isn't it? Could you please help us locate a speaker on the theme of mental illness, since it is a problem that has plagued both me, my family members, and many people in the church in the past. And I would really like to hear more on that topic. And he was able to locate this delightful lady who will work with us today, Ms. Cynthia Denise Smith, who is coming out from the Speakers Bureau of the National Association of Mental Illness. She would like to say this about herself if she was asked to describe herself in three short sentences. I am a wife, a mother of four, a daughter, a sister, and a friend. I am passionate and fully vested in the lives and education of my three daughters. I am a woman of faith, prayer, and an encourager, and a lifelong learner. So I would like you to welcome Cynthia Denise Smith. Thank you.
It is both an honor and a privilege to stand before you today to talk about my continuing journey from mental illness on the quest to mental and emotional healing. None of us are as strong as we think we are, and at some point in our lives, we may require the help of friends, family, faith, support groups, and the mental health community in order to get us back on track. My name is Cynthia Denise Smith again, and I am here to share how my faith in God, my introduction and involvement with the NAMI organization, as well as my relationships with Pastor Ronald Wilson, friends, and sisters in the faith, continue to empower me and help me to stand before you today. I will admit that I had hoped to be in a better place than I am today, but I guess you get to see and hear firsthand whether or not I am truly practicing what I am preaching. Thankfully, the background material for this presentation had already been prepared, but I had a dickens of a time for this introduction, but now I understand why. I have been living out this message for the past month. You see, I had been slipping into a depression, but had not really been aware of it. I was absolutely thrilled to see another successful academic school year come to a close for my girls. I am fully vested in my girls' education, as you have heard. I thought that finally I could get some much-needed rest. However, that thought was short-lived because my eldest daughter is taking a summer class and involved in two sports camps, and that means that she needs to be picked up from the high school after work from Monday through Thursday. I have a women's fellowship that I meet some Monday nights, and it is essential to my well-being, so I truly try not to miss too many meetings. On Wednesday nights, my girls and I go to church as a family because there's truly something for everyone. However, the problem with this is that I work in Aliso Viejo, I live in Tustin, and I attend church in Lake Forest. So I leave work, I go pick up my girls, and then I have to basically backtrack towards work in order to go to church. My husband has not yet seen fit to join us, but I am hopeful that he will at least help me to transport my girls like he did last week. At least that way, once I come home, I get to stay home. My family's spiritual health is extremely important to me, as I have been the spiritual head of my household for many years now. I am hopeful that someday that will all change, or at least I can better share the load. I'm not bashing my husband by a long shot, as he is a good provider and does so many things in so many other ways. He's an excellent husband and father as well. He has a lot on his shoulders supporting our family of five comfortably here in Orange County. He has made a very good living, but his commissions have been cut in half this year. Couple that with making payments to the IRS and on my student loan, and you have three very good reasons for this recent onslaught of depression. I have enjoyed tremendous favor and freedom at my new workplace until a complaint by an irate prospective customer has shed a negative light on my reception desk. I have been a mobile receptionist for 2 years, but that is being reexamined. I have been a receptionist for about 10 years now and had never experienced the freedom that I had until recently, thanks to a mobile cordless phone. I have been bound to my desk, if you will, until my relief showed up, or for breaks, showed up for breaks and lunches before then. The freedom that I had at my company, along with the graciousness of my employer and fellow employees, had made this a very pleasant workplace overall. However, as with life itself, you have to experience some rain before you can truly appreciate the sunshine, and I had experienced a deluge of rain in my previous work experience to hopefully last me a lifetime. I am thankful that I am still living and breathing, and there is plenty of room still to grow. My family and I were blessed to go to the desert for a few days of much-needed R&R, or again, so I thought. Upon our arrival, we received two very disturbing phone calls, one from the compliance department at my husband's workplace and the other from my mother. The compliance department had called to tell my husband that there was an inquiry underway in regards to his business practices with a recent member of his organization. On the heels of that phone call, I heard from my mother recapping her recent vacation to Virginia, and then she shared that, by the way, your Uncle James and Aunt Catherine are in the hospital. Uncle James has cancer and it has spread. How many of you could go on to have a jolly good old time after something like that? How many of you also know that these two things put quite a damper on our many vacations? Thankfully, I do know the power of prayer, and I began to pray for my Aunt Catherine and Uncle James, as well as for my husband. I also text my pastor's wife, Loretta, to pray as well that this accusing tongue will be silenced and that my husband would be completely exonerated. And thankfully he was, but it wasn't until Monday morning before we left. I also began to pray for my aunt and uncle and pray that in spite of all of this, we would still be able to have a good time. Although my husband and I did manage to have a pretty good time, both of these events were still at the back of our minds. Afterwards, I did tell my mother how bad news marred our vacation, so she will not mention my Uncle James unless I specifically ask about him. As long as my husband does not receive any phone calls from my mother's side of the family, I know that Uncle James is still in the land of the living. So you see, there is another role that my husband plays extremely well, and that is of our protector. He has had plenty of experience in this role, like the time that my 14-year-old sister became pregnant for the first time, and subsequent drama in her life before and after the births of her second and third daughter, not to mention the shenanigans that my immature, irresponsible, and soon-to-be expectant 26-year-old continues to get himself into. I hope that you don't mind, but at this time, I'm going to both quote and paraphrase someone that I'm growing to have a deep respect for as she gives her reflections on what faith truly is and what it has meant to her, because I don't believe that I could have said it any better myself. Whether Catholic, Muslim, or Episcopalian, no matter what religion, faith is the universal healer. If I don't believe in God, I can't have faith in anybody else, including myself. If I can keep my connection to God, keep my faith, I can conquer everything. God will take care of that which I cannot command. Being spiritual isn't being perfect. To me, being spiritual is recognizing that we aren't necessarily operating on our own steam, and that ultimately, not everything in this life is under our control. We have to let go and let God do His job, but first, we have to have faith. Having faith has gotten me through so much in life. It helps me handle all of life's ups and downs. It helps me to come to terms with what is true and real versus the fantasy of how I wish things could be different. And eventually, it also helps me to move forward. My faith in God helps me to continually put my life in order and also helps me to find and maintain my balance. Whatever your religion or belief system is, the key is to have something on the inside working on the outside and positively radiating outward towards the rest of the world. It's not so much what happens to you, but how you handle it that matters. We're all being tested, sometimes daily, and we have to choose to keep our heads to the sky. Otherwise, our focus turns inward, and we either become depressed or we stay that way. And that was Queen Latifah. I also remember reading recently, and it definitely rang true with me, that depression and unhappiness come from a sense of powerlessness. But you and I have the power to pray and receive the answer. This fact alone should give us a sense of empowerment and also bring us joy. In order to appreciate where I am today, you must first understand where I have been. 1992 was the best of times and the worst of times. It was a time that tried a young woman's soul. It was a great year in that I married my first love and college sweetheart. It also was the year that his one and only firstborn son re-entered our lives after a five-year separation, along with his biological mother and two sisters. I discovered a love for children and for education that I never knew existed. Although everyone tried to make Pam's transition to California a smooth one, she would have none of that. She was truly conniving, calculating, and manipulative, pitting family members one against the other. She was very good at stirring up strife and confusion in our family, and we fell for it hook, line, and sinker. Meanwhile, I was experiencing difficulty at work because my supervisor was a woman scorned by a womanizing boyfriend who just so happened to be our fellow coworker as well. She seemed to have an axe to grind and decided to take her breakup out on me by giving me a poor review. She did not take into consideration that the reason that my desk had fallen behind was that I was also required to cover at the reception desk with no backup on my own or at my own. At this time, I confided in a coworker named Kim Siana instead of to my husband about my frustrations at home and at work, and this would come back later to haunt me. During the last week of September 1992, things really came to a head. I had not been sleeping or eating much that week and felt like I was having a divine encounter with God. I tried to speak with the resident Christian in my office named Pat, but she was nowhere to be found. My coworker Jared and I were required to work late on September 28th, the last Friday of the month, and also the last day to fund mortgage loans. We had no phones and the elevators were not working properly, so I secretly felt trapped. I didn't get home until 8 o'clock p.m., and my husband was frantic. As we began to talk, he shared that it felt as if he was talking to a complete stranger. I paced back and forth outside my apartment, walking and talking with my Creator until my husband persuaded me to come in. All of this time, I had been in a heightened state of mania. Mania is defined as excessively intense enthusiasm, interest, or desire, as well as rapidly changing thoughts. On October 1st, 1992, we received the bipolar disorder diagnosis from Dr. Nichols. He recommended that my husband commit me into an institution, but thankfully, God had another plan. I was promptly referred to Dr. Vinoblis, and put on three different medications, one to bring me up, one to bring me down, and one to keep me stable. In my delusional state, I believed that I was pregnant and gained 60 pounds in 3 months. I am thankful for the meds because they were my saving grace at that time and helped to stabilize me. However, as I began to feel better, my husband and I talked about starting a family. I have been able to come off all of my meds during my pregnancy because of the possible side effects it would have on the baby. I had never felt better because finally my mind, body, soul, and spirit were in perfect balance. Thankfully, my eldest daughter was born on December 9, 1994, perfectly healthy without any birth or side effects from the meds that I had been taking previously for about a year and a half, which was miraculous. I briefly went back on the meds in 1995 after a relapse. I am not recommending the following for anyone. I am just sharing my personal testimony. If you or someone you know has been given a mental illness diagnosis, pray and ask for their divine pathway to healing and consult with a physician because everyone's looks differently. My mom-in-law Kay, or mother-in-law Kay, had come over to pray with me, and due to the severity of the side effects from the meds that I had been taking, I promptly came off all of the meds on April 1995, with the exception of a sleep aid that I'm currently taking. My introduction to NAMI. 2002 was a year of extreme highs and lows. My grandmother had been very ill, but she had always been so resilient in years past that I just knew that she was going to pull through one more time. My wedding anniversary was fast approaching, and we had planned something very special to celebrate, and our family had even provided childcare, which, if you know my family, was a very rare occasion. My wedding anniversary was fast approaching, and we had planned something very special to celebrate. Oh, okay, I went over that, excuse me. We had a very nice time, and in the back of my mind, I felt that I would see my grandmother again in the land of the living, but that would not be the case. On March 21st, 2002, Mariella King passed away at the age of 95. That was truly one of the darkest days of my life, and a depression ensued for the next month. I could not understand how the sun could still be shining while everyone else seemed to be going on their merry little way. While my life had come to a screeching halt, I consider myself my grandmother's 11th child, as she had 9 children biologically, but raised 10. My grandmother, next to my mother, was the most influential woman in my life. She was my child care provider, one of my greatest encouragers, and the greatest role model and example of what a woman of faith looks like. I spent my weekends and summers with her as a child, and we went to church together on Sunday mornings. I used to lovingly tell people that I am a product of my grandmother's prayers, and I feel that any good that I have done or have experienced can be attributed to her. I learned from her that no matter how deep the valley, that God will see you through it. My grandmother endured the loss of 2 of her sons and a favorite grandson as well. I saw her break down at her youngest son's funeral, and I lost it as well, because my grandmother had always been a rock, and I have never remembered seeing her cry before. I could not bring myself to go to her funeral, especially without my husband accompanying me. What was the point anyway? She was already gone, and nothing that I could have said or done would have changed that fact. My family was disappointed, but I would not have been the rock that they had anticipated or expected. I know that I would not have been able to keep my composure. The sadness did not truly lift until I received my Mother's Day gift from my Aunt Marguerite. I knew there was something special, but I could not have imagined how special that it was in my wildest dreams. She had sent me a picture of my grandmother, my first cousin, and me on Easter Sunday many years ago. It was taken in my grandmother's first apartment in Farley Towers, the senior citizens complex. I believe that I could not have been more than 5 or 6 years old, which you know was a very long time ago, which means that my first cousin was either 7 or 8 years old. I proudly showed it around my office, and especially to the president of my company at that time and 2 of our managers that had been so gracious to me during my time of bereavement. My president remarked that she looked like Aretha Franklin because of the wig that she had on, and I was beaming from ear to ear. I picked out a beautiful frame from Aaron Brothers and proudly displayed it on an easel on my coffee table for many years. I also bought a beautiful grandmother's book in tribute to her as well. A year after Beautiful Mind was released with Russell Crowe, I was talking about the movie with a close friend named Karen. She in turn went on to share with me that her husband was schizophrenic and had been so for the duration of their marriage and our 5-year friendship. I was speechless and immediately began calling around to see what programs were available to further assist in his recovery process. One of those phone calls was life-changing. I found out about an organization called NAMI, which stands for the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I found out about the peer-to-peer and the family-to-family support group that were being offered and thought I had hit the jackpot. However, her husband had been seeing a psychiatrist for many years and taking medication, and that would be the extent of that. Karen politely refused to take this any further because NAMI was not a Christian-based organization. However, I decided to take full advantage of the peer-to-peer group and put myself on the waiting list. When a slot opened up in January 2003, I jumped on it. For the first time in my life, I was able to openly share about my past illness without fear of judgment, condemnation, or isolation. I also learned so much about my illness and others, such as their triggers and subsequent coping strategies. Additionally, I met 2 dear friends, Cotty and Elizabeth, and still maintain my friendship with Cotty to this day. Cotty was one of our facilitators and the only female. She was always so encouraging. On March 21st, 2003, the first anniversary of my grandmother's passing, she would serve as my lifeline and saving grace as well. I experienced a major panic attack while I was at work. I was blindsided as the sadness over my grandmother's passing the anxiety over the financial difficulties that we were experiencing, along with the anxious thoughts of my brother's military involvement in the Middle East, all came to a head. I reached out to Cotty by phone as I took a walk around my office square to try and regain my composure. She noticed my rapid breathing and my agitated state and listened very attentively and compassionately with a calm and soothing voice. Cotty did not resolve any of my problems that day, but just the fact that someone knew where I was and what I was going through was enough for me to regain my composure and to be able to finish out my work day. When I got home that afternoon, my husband's first thought was that I would immediately have to go back on medication, and we also thought about counseling, but we were in no position financially to afford that. Unfortunately, I did not know about the employee assistance program that is available for most employees through their life or health insurance benefit, which usually provides 2 to 3 free counseling sessions. Thankfully, however, I was able to weather the storm without either the counseling or the medication. However, I have taken full advantage of the employee assistance program since that time. My only regret is that my family had not been made aware of NAMI sooner, because it would have brought so much clarity, comfort, and support to them, especially for my husband, who must have felt so all alone at that time. The reason he is not with me today is that even though it has been almost 18 years since my initial diagnosis, this is still a very painful chapter in our lives. In 2005, I became an In Our Own Voice presenter after a weekend of both emotional and labor-intensive training. It is because of NAMI, namely the In Our Own Voice program, that I am able to stand before your congregation today, and I thank both of you for this tremendous opportunity that has been afforded to me. There have been many that have assisted me along life's journey. Pastor Ronald Wilson, ministered to me over a 5-year period and was especially instrumental in helping me to process the passing of a dear friend's husband, and also helped me to keep a very important friendship with my dear friend Alnisa from high school. Karen, that I mentioned earlier, was a very dear friend for about 8 years who ministered to me often and offered special insight into the deep discouragement I experienced after failing my driving test for the third time. My dear friend Deborah helped me through the very difficult process of releasing my teenage bonus son into the care of my in-laws for a season. My friend Sue, who is here with me today, has been my closest and dearest friend for the last 14 years and has been there for me and my family when it mattered most. My friend Arthania has been there to pray for me and encourage me for the past 8.5 years when I needed a sounding board, as well as a kind and non-judgmental ear in regards to something I was experiencing myself or with my girls. I would also not be where I am today without the love and support of my husband, my mother, aunts and uncles, as well as the initial support from my in-laws. In closing, before I open up the floor for questions, I would like to share a few of my coping strategies, my successes, my hopes, my dreams, and my aspirations. My coping strategies: my faith in God, participation in NAMI's peer-to-peer and In Our Own Voice programs, reading biographies and other encouraging books, writing letters and journaling, recreation, being a creature of routine, and surrounding myself with positive women of strong faith in God and zeroing out negativity in my life. My successes: staying successfully married for 18 years, being a mother to 4 beautiful and distinctly different children, managing an ongoing recovery after a mental illness diagnosis, maintaining a few close intimate relationships with sisters in the faith, getting my bachelor's of science degree from Seton Hall University, successfully completing school papers and projects with my girls, and obtaining my driver's license for the first time on March 19, 2005. My hopes, my dreams, and my aspirations: obtaining my teaching credential and teaching in the public school system. I would like to raise well-balanced, well-educated, well-mannered, well-adjusted, purposeful, and prosperous daughters. I would like to write a book about my life experiences. I would like to overcome all of my fears. I would also like to continue to pray for, encourage, and minister to others through NAMI and other open doors. I am hoping to be mentally, spiritually, and emotionally whole. And last but not least, and please pray for me on this one, I hope to be a better driver and able to successfully drive on the California freeways. That way I wouldn't have gotten lost like I did this morning. Am I completely healed and made whole? No. Because as you hear and see, I still struggle with depression. and as I have been walking out this message over the last month. However, the difference is that I am no longer mentally ill. Thank you. I will now open up the floor for questions.
Very good example here. When you pray for her and her driving, you're praying for yourself. And part of the core of the message is when we reach out to others, we're also reaching inward to ourselves. And we all benefit from being in this relationship one with another. And with your brief questions, we have some time.
Well, I know in my case, when I say support group, the peer-to-peer group for NAMI was extremely instrumental. My friends, my family, psychologists at times, you know, whatever helps you get through. My faith, absolutely. And also learning more about the illness that I was diagnosed with. That has been very powerful for me over the years. I always seek encouragement in that area. I'm always reading articles, and they're talking more about it now, more now than ever before. And I, of course, taking the positive and really brush aside the negative, because there's a lot of negativity out there as well. So you have to be careful what you take in. Oh, and as far as dwelling on the past, there are times when I'll beat myself up and I'll condemn myself, but I'll hear a message or I'll read something to know that the faith that I have in my faith, there is no condemnation. There's conviction about wrong actions, and there's the responsibility of taking on that and confessing that and then moving on, not to stay stuck in the past. So that's really critical. You're absolutely right. Well, you're absolutely right. That is sad to say. That's why NAMI is so critical, because they're working to eliminate those stigmas. And as you said, we don't judge someone for taking medication for any other part of the body except the brain.
Yeah.
And I am certainly, as I said, I'm not sharing not to do that. It was very instrumental in my recovery process, but there were some other things that I was able to do to help me to go farther in my recovery process. Well, I know that it's a grassroots organization. It is open up both to the person that has the mental illness diagnosis as well as their family. It is free. All the resources are free. I do have some more information at the back of the table in the other room there, and would love for you to pick it up and read more about it. But it has really been instrumental in moving me farther along in my recovery process, and it's something that I can always go back to, so it's wonderful. Well, that's where prayer comes in. That's where my friends come in, my family. In my faith, you know, I have a book that I read, and that encourages me as well, the Bible, if I can say that here. so it does very much so work, as you said, on reprogramming how you think. So there are certain authors that I read that help me with that process.
We are sharing a place today with NAMI. So as we take up the collection and thank our speaker for being here and sharing this truth and intimacy and for trusting us with your heart, we thank you deeply and remember that as fast as it is now.
You're welcome.